Our brother has asked us to read from the scripture on the card, Mark chapter 2, verses 23 to 28. I noticed in verse 25, when Jesus was criticized, he said, "Have you never read?" And it brought my thoughts back to what Brother Fred spoke about Monday night, where Jesus in Matthew 4 says, "It is written." And what examples for us as we get criticized, we can just always refer to Scripture. It is written. We have read the truth from God's Word. And when Satan brings things to our mind, like was mentioned on Monday night, we can always refer back to the Word of God. There is victory in the Word of God. So let's always uplift His Word in our daily life and in our thought pattern. Mark chapter 2, verses 23 to 28. "And it came to pass that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began, as they went, to pluck the ears of corn. And the Pharisees said unto him, Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? And he said unto them, Have you never read what David did when he had need and was an hungered, and they that were with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest and did eat the shew bread, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priest, and gave also to them which were with him? And he said unto them, The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath." As many as able, let's kneel for prayer.
We greet you again this evening in the precious name of our Lord and Savior. Jesus is his name. It's a blessing to be together with you. Kind of a shelter in a storm here tonight, and I praise the Lord for that. Maybe the farmers need the rain, and we are thankful for the rain, I know, when it comes in Iowa. But tonight, I appreciated the opening, the thoughts concerning showers of blessings inside as well. And I've been blessed to see a number of visitors here tonight, some I've known for many, many years. So welcome to each of you in the name of the Lord. And pray for us, that the Lord might strengthen where our weakness is and give us a power in the Word of God. We thank our brother for reading the scripture from Mark chapter 2. And perhaps if you noticed on the schedule, if you have one of the programs, our topic for tonight is the Lord of Thursday. And some of you may be saying, "Well, now wait a minute, Brother Fred. Brother Ray just read that scripture, and it says there in verse 28 that the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath, right?" Well, that is true. And I would believe that I know that, and you know that. Probably everybody in this sanctuary knows that Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. But you might be surprised or appalled and how many people, even Christians, do not recognize him as the Lord of Thursday. Do you know tonight that Jesus is the Lord of Thursday? Just as much as he is the Lord of the Sabbath. He is. And by the grace of God, perhaps we can learn more about that as we look into the Word. First, however, let's consider this scripture in a text. The Pharisees were running their usual trap line, trying to snare our Lord. And the disciples had just gone through a cornfield and plucked ears of corn and ate it. And because they were hungry. And the Pharisee said, "Aha, gotcha. Today's the Sabbath. You can't do that. It's unlawful." But Jesus had a good answer for them. And the answer that Jesus gave them is in verse 27. He says, "The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath." It was designed to remind man of our Creator, the God of the universe, resting on the seventh day. And we were to do the same, to set aside a day to reverence that resting and to give praise and honor and glory unto God. It was designed for us to keep in a holy way, praying and worshiping Him. The Lord also said, I will be merciful unto them that I will show mercy. If an ox is in the ditch, you feed it. You get it out of the ditch. If you're somebody's hungry, you feed them. If somebody needs something to help them on a Sabbath, it's not wrong to help them. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. I believe the challenge for us tonight is to remember that Christ is the Lord of every day of the week. And I need to revive myself in that. He is Lord of all, and He is Lord of Thursday, which happens to be tonight. There are several things we'd like to consider this evening to maybe revive us, to help us along in our Christian walk concerning this day. And actually, if you haven't already picked up on it, it doesn't matter if it's Thursday or Tuesday or Monday or Friday. It really doesn't matter because it works every day. He knows when you are praying. And we've heard some good prayers tonight. A brother prayed for me in the back, one of my friends, before I ever came up. And it was a blessing to me. But it's a comfort to me to know that He hears our prayers on other days than the Lord's Day. I know the house of God is referred to, even by Jesus, as a house of prayer. And they made it a den of thieves, and He was a little upset with that. And I believe this sanctuary here tonight is set aside to worship God, to keep it respectful and honor this place of worship, not to set it above it should be, but to honor it in a way that it was designed to be honored. It was dedicated for the service of the Lord. And we meet here and we pray, and some of the brethren were praying in another room, even for me and for you, each one of you, before the service began. This is a house of prayer. But I want us to know tonight that whether it's a Thursday night or a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or whenever it is, or whenever you have prayer meeting, maybe Wednesday or Thursday night, God hears our prayers. He listens to what we have to say, and I am encouraged by that. We don't have to wait on a special day to cry out to God. David said in Psalm 69, verse 13, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me, in the truth of thy salvation. An acceptable time. When is that? It's whenever we need to fall down on our knees. It's whenever we need to lift our hands in praise. It's whenever we have a desire for a soul that needs to know Jesus as Lord. It's whenever the need arises, and it could be Thursday or Monday or Tuesday for that matter. Isaiah said in chapter 49 and verse 8, thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in the day of salvation have I helped thee. And Paul repeated that in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. He referred to it. And he said, for he hath said, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold now, and I've underlined it in my Bible, behold now is the day of salvation. Behold now is the accepted time. And now could be Thursday. God said in Psalm 50 and verse 15, call upon me on Thursday. No, he didn't say that on Thursday, but he said, call upon me in the day of trouble. Have you ever had trouble on Thursdays? Well, I have on the farm. You can be sure of that. And maybe you have a shop or something else, and if you can get by every Thursday of the year without trouble, you're doing pretty good. Or any other day of the week, for that matter. He says, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. God wants to be glorified on Thursdays just as much as on the Lord's Day. We need to witness of Him. The psalmist said in Psalm 146, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have my being." The Lord of Thursday knows when you are praising. Are you alive tonight? I won't ask you to raise your hand, but if you are alive, you're eligible to praise the Lord. And we should. And I know I covered that Sunday morning. But do we think about it besides Sunday morning? Do we think about it besides Sunday evening or Wednesday night prayer meeting? I hope we do. He is the Lord of Thursday, and he loves to be praised. The Lord of Thursday not only knows when we're praising and when we're praying, but he also knows where we're staying. Now, I know I'm staying over with Brother Fred and Sister Lori, but that's not what the staying I'm referring to here tonight. And we're staying in the house where it's out of the rain tonight, but that's not what I'm referring to either. So it's 8:45 in the morning in Iowa on a Thursday morning, and I'm in my tractor going through my field, and my mind wanders. Does your mind ever wander? Where does your mind wander? Where does my mind wander? The Lord knows where our mind wanders. He knows where it wanders, and he knows where it stays. And every human being in this house tonight will be challenged with their mind wandering. There's no question about that. Saints and sinners alike, we have been given a brain that is so magnificent and so wonderful, but we're commanded to guard it, to allow God to be honored in it, and to be careful, very careful with it. It's easy to think worship on Sunday mornings. What do we think about on Thursday mornings? Isaiah said in chapter 28 in verses 2 and 3, "Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is what? Stayed upon thee." The Lord is interested in where our mind stays, and it needs to be on him. And in the time of temptation, whether it's Thursday or Tuesday or whenever, if our mind wanders to something that is ungodly, we need to channel it immediately back to God or to something righteous, his word. You young men, if you are tempted by something electronic or a billboard or whatever it might be, your mind dare not stay there if it's corruption. You need to channel it to God and keep it fixed on God. To stay means to hold back or fix or maintain or rule. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." We'd like to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 for just a moment. Chapter 10. Bear with me, I was in 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5. I'll read verse 4 as well. He says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God." And notice this last phrase, "and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." That's not just for morning worship on Sunday. where perhaps the chorister or the Sunday school teacher or the preacher can draw our minds to the Word of God. But he says, bringing into captivity every thought applies to every day of the week, that we might be righteous in our thinking. The Lord knows on Thursdays where my mind wanders and where it stays. God help us. When you're traveling down Route 30, I don't know if there's any along Route 30 or not, maybe Interstate 70 or 80, with a turnpike, and you see a billboard that says, "The Lion's Den." And this may not mean anything to some of you. It's a place of evil. Where does your mind go? Turn it back to God, to righteousness. God help us to be holy in our thinking as well as in our action. It's 2:30 in the afternoon, Thursday afternoon at the beach. And the Lord of Thursday, do you know the Lord of Thursday owns the beaches? He does. The Old Testament writer said, he owns the cattle upon 1,000 hills. Well, he owns the hills too. He made them. He made the hills. He made the beaches. He made the farms. But man has corrupted the beaches. He has corrupted the beaches. We were on a family trip some years ago, and we decided we had some extra time. We'd go to the beach and pick up some seashells. Do a little hunting there for shells on the beach. It was down in South Carolina, really. And there were some other beachcombers out there. It was a cool morning. And then came the heat and the nakedness. And we gathered our family together. And we left the beach. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 14 and 15 says, "Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men." Avoid it, he says. Pass by it. Turn from it and pass away. And we did. And that goes with materials that you might read. The scripture says, "Set a wicked thing before thine eyes," on Thursdays as well as Sundays. God said in Exodus chapter 23 and verse 2, "Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil," even if it's Thursday. Well, I didn't add that, but I did. In Genesis chapter 3, I'm going to dwell on this a little bit because we are entering into the time of the year when men and women both forget that there's an all-seeing God who cares about how we appear, whether we're in public or in a church or wherever we might be. And in Exodus 32, Moses was up on the mountain taking instructions from God. And he comes down out of that mountain, and he saw a sight that troubled his soul. The children of Israel were naked and worshiping a golden calf. And he was cut to the heart. And Moses saw the people were naked, and it was unto their shame among their enemies. And he told them concerning that. Is it any wonder, I believe sometimes, I think about it, is it any wonder the Muslim nations in the world despise America? This a nation that was founded upon principles that were godly, and it's become naked in a lot of ways, but in the very verbal way, naked as far as dress, especially as we enter into the summer months. And this nation is naked unto their shame among the enemies. The Lord of Thursday said in Revelation chapter 3 and verses 17 and 18, and I know this has a spiritual application, but I think it also has a physical application. He says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mightest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. See what? The way of the Lord of Thursday. That he is holy. And he calls us to be holy also. And he said further, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. I know it's spiritual. The application in the context of that in Revelation is spiritual. But very seldom does a spiritual application not also have a practical application for you and I in our daily living. And this is no exception. And too often the world rubs off on those who are called to be saints. God help us to honor the Lord of Thursday. We'd like to turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, we'd like to begin reading at verse 16. We'll begin reading at verse 12. The Lord gives us time. He says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, I just praise the Lord for that verse. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And I trust tonight that we will take that as he is Lord of all. He is Lord of the Sabbath. He is Lord of Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays. In your life and in my life, he needs to be Lord of all. He needs to reign in our day from morning to evening and through the night watches. So it was a Thursday morning about 10 o'clock. And there was a farm auction. And Jack was going along looking at the stuff. He was a young man, a farm boy. And he was kind of mesmerized by the chant of the auctioneer. He was auctioning off a tool. I've got a good tool here. What are you going to give me for it? You're only giving me $40. How about 20? Anybody 20 now? 25? Got 30? Anybody 35? And he was kind of caught up in that. And there was a man that came along and had his cap kind of pulled down. And he looks at Jack and he says, nice fencing there, isn't it? Jack was down the line a little bit from where the auctioneer was. He was looking at some fencing, and Jack says, yeah, it's nice fencing. The neighbor says, well, the pigs keep getting into my vegetables, and they make a mess. What would you do? And Jack said, almost without hesitation, well, I'd shoot them. That's what I'd do. Well, they went on with the auction, and man went his way, kind, and Jack went his, just watching what was going on. And well, three weeks later, Jack was scheduled to appear before the local draft board. He needed to be approved for CO status. Most of the board members there were strangers to Jack, probably neighbors somewhere, but he really hadn't met them. But one face kind of seemed familiar. And different ones asked him questions, you know, about the convictions of his heart concerning going to war. And then this one man, he said, "Jack, what would you do if the neighbor pigs got in your yard and in your garden?" You see, Jack needed to have the Lord to be the Lord of the auction as well as the Sunday school class. He needed to have his mind fixed upon God, on loving his neighbor on Thursday morning at 10 o'clock, just as much as Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Because Jesus is the Lord of Thursday. He needed to know that it was wrong to shoot the neighbor's pigs. We'd like to turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. Beginning of verse 8, Peter says, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation?" And that isn't just our talking. That holy conversation means how we present ourselves to one another. Our habits, our actions and our reactions are part of our conversation and godliness. "Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved," Peter says, "wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Because," my own words, "because he could come on a Thursday." Now, some of you prophecy brethren might say, "Oh no, he's coming on a certain day." And I won't argue with you on that, if the calendar is the same as it was when it started. But we don't know. We don't know the day, Jesus said, or the hour when he's going to come. But it could be Thursday. I think it could be. As some of you know, I've farmed in Iowa for quite a few years, and the past 24 years I've had some chicken barns. And they're for a company that's pretty fussy about biosecurity. They want things to be just kind of so. And in part of that being just kind of so is that I'm supposed to dust the inside of the building with a broom or whatever is most convenient, I guess. I'm supposed to make sure there's no mouse nests or bird nests around the outside of the building. It's just keeping things the way they ought to be for biosecurity reasons and for the health of the birds. Well, I try to do this chore weekly. Unless I see something that needs done on Thursday, and I do it then instead of maybe Tuesday. But it was coming up to the time where I probably should be doing it that week. And I thought, I'd really rather be doing something else. I wonder if I could just put this off a couple more days. You know how it goes. So I thought, I think it really needs it, The walls were, I probably ought to. So I get the broom and whatever else I used, and I dusted the old chicken house and went into the shop. And I don't think I was in the shop but 15 or 20 minutes, and this big old white van pulls in my driveway, and I didn't recognize what this van was. I thought, you know, they better be careful because this is a biosecurity situation. And they ignored where I was. They didn't ask, they didn't call me or anything. They just went in through there, parked in front of my chicken barn, and about eight guys got out, dressed in white. They unlocked my chicken house door, and they walked in. And I wasn't sure what to think. I found out that it was some of the top people of the Highline International Company, and they had come to visit my chicken barn. And a chill kind of went down my back, because I almost wasn't ready for them. They aren't the only ones who may come unannounced. It could be the Lord of Thursday. Are we ready? Are we prepared? Could be tonight with the thunderings and the lightnings, I don't know. But Jesus said to watch and pray, for you know not when your Lord will return. Therefore be ye also ready, for as in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. And it could be a Thursday morning, or it could be a Thursday evening. And you know, here we are tonight in this congregation. It's a wonderful situation. It's a Thursday evening here at Pleasant Hill. And maybe the Spirit is speaking to you. He's speaking to me to be revived in my everyday life, to be careful, to be consistent, to be honoring God each day. And tonight, if you are here unsaved, maybe he's speaking to you that this would be the day of salvation for you. It is an accepted time. Even though you don't have to be in a revival meeting, you don't have to hear a hymn sung, any day, anywhere, you can cry out to God for salvation. But tonight I give you the invitation. As we sing a hymn, what shall it be, brother?
Number 10.
Number 10 in the green book. If you are here tonight and you want to accept Jesus Christ as Lord of your life, every day of your life, stand where you are, raise your hand, or come forward while we sing.